Welcome to the Music Therapy Roundtable Podcast. We are your hosts, Rachel Rambach,
Michelle Erford,
Matt Logan,
and Kimberly Senna Moore.
We are four board-certified music therapists with a mission to empower you to take charge of your personal and professional growth. Join us each month as we talk shop and share stories, tips, and ideas about music therapy. Thanks for stopping by.
So we have something exciting to share with our listeners. And Rachel, I think this is really cool because I feel like since we started the Music Therapy Roundtable, you have gone through some pretty major professional transitions with your music therapy practice in Springfield. And you have another one coming up, don't you?
I do. It seems like every year I have some sort of big shift or big change that happens in my practice. And this year is no exception. So I just announced this to all of my families yesterday, which was so exciting. But after almost 6 years of having my private practice out of my home studio, I am leaving home and I now have an outside studio, which is only 5 minutes from my house. So that's awesome and still convenient. But we outgrew the studio, and Katie Kratz, who has been working with Music Therapy Connections for the last 2 years, is joining forces with me full time. And we now have our studio inside of one of the local music stores here in Springfield. And we have not one, but three studios and a group space. So it is a huge change for me and for her. She's been traveling to all of her clients and will now be under the same roof. And I could not be happier. I'm just so thrilled.
That's so exciting on so many levels because, I mean, not only does it give you a centralized space, but you all get to work together.
Yes.
She doesn't have to travel anymore.
Oh, I know. I'm going to have a colleague, a coworker, like next to me. It's just so exciting.
And Rachel, that's never happened to you ever.
No.
Because even when you were working at Hope.
Right. Yeah. I had an intern my last year, but again, she was only there for like 1 or 2 days a week. So now I have somebody every day, and it's going to be so much fun, and I'm excited. And I was really nervous to tell my families because, you know, there's something really nice and intimate about, you know, being in my home. And even though it's separate from the rest of my house, like, you know, it's just a nice, cozy setting. And but they've all had such positive feedback, and they're all really happy about the growth of my business and this big step up. So I think it's going to be exciting and a little bittersweet. You know, it's nice to be able to pop over to the other side of my house and see Parker, you know, at work if I have a break or something. But it'll be good for me to get out of the house and be around more people. And, you know, of course, to expand my business is also wonderful.
And what are you going to do then with, because you spent a lot of time kind of renovating the office space to function
Yes. As
a studio.
I did. So it'll probably just stay the same for now. I mean, we really don't need the space at this point. So I'll probably keep my office where it is now. And, you know, the waiting room can just be another little hanging out room because there are nice comfy couches in there. But eventually we'll probably move my office into where the waiting room is and convert my current office into another bedroom when that time comes, when we need it. So for now, no big plans to change anything.
Well, good luck and congratulations. It's a huge step.
Thank you so much. Many times before we meet a colleague, prospective client, potential employer, or employee face-to-face, it is our online persona they get to know first. Whether it be through LinkedIn, a personal or business website or Facebook page, a blog, podcast, or other digital medium, we are representing ourselves with every sentence we write, photo we post, and link we share. In this episode 57 of the Music Therapy Roundtable Podcast, we'll be sharing our thoughts on how to maintain a positive presence in the webosphere, because those initial online connections could very well lead to real-life professional opportunities down the road. So we've talked a lot about social media and online etiquette. In fact, episode 53 was dedicated to online etiquette. But let's go more into our online presence. So let's start by talking about what having a positive online presence looks like to you, and how does it differ from one online space to another?
Well, for me, speaking to the second question first, I don't think it differs in terms of the message I'm trying to put out there. And the message is, I'm trying to be genuine and helpful and kind. I mean, I guess that's really it. If there's a way I can contribute, whether it's a content or a comment or something or a link I'm sharing, the intent is to be helpful. And then again, to be genuine, to be true to myself, to my thoughts and my beliefs. But that, for me, that in any way, that doesn't differ from space to space.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point you bring up, Kimberly, that the platform doesn't necessarily change your presence online. I agree. What about you, Matt?
Yeah, I agree with that as well. Platform to platform, I mean, I guess the only difference being Twitter, where and you can only say so much in, 140 characters. But yeah, Kimberly, I think you nailed it with, you got to be helpful. And that's what a positive presence really is.
Mm-hmm. Michelle, what do you think?
I agree. But also, and also, I guess I should say, not to be contrary, but I also think that, you know, that bottom line, whatever your mission is what you're doing with all the different online spaces. But the way it can come out, you know, there's a potential for there to be different levels of formality based on what you use, whether you're writing a big blog post. And I guess it has to do with what you just said, Matt, about your character limit or your other, if you can use video or audio or that sort of thing. You know, Twitter to me always seems less formal because you use less letters and you can use smiley faces. Well, I guess you could always do that, but you know, you shorten things. And then compared to when you have more space to write it. And then also when you can say it instead of type it, instead of read it, you can get more information out there and say something in a totally different way that would show differently than when you're reading it. Does that make
sense?
If
you can see it through a video or a picture. And I'm intrigued. I hadn't really thought about that concept of different levels of formality. Mm-hmm. But I completely see what you're saying. That may differ from space to space to space. So, you know, I may, on Instagram, for example, show a sillier picture. I show more pictures of my family and things like that, which I wouldn't share. Sometimes I share on Twitter, but I wouldn't really share, say, on my business page or on LinkedIn. So I do agree with the different levels of formality, but still, to me, those are all different parts of myself. It's still a genuine aspect of my life. So that in terms of a kind of a comprehensive overall online presence, that even with the different levels of formality, it's still me.
Right.
At least I try.
Yeah.
First question of, you know, what does a positive online presence look to you? To me, I don't know about how it looks, but I think that it is whatever other people say it is. Whatever my online presence is, I'm not really the person that gets to determine that. It's what everyone who's looking at me gets to determine. I can try my best to put out there what I want and be, you know, everything that Kimberly, you're saying about my bottom line mission and having integrity and all that. But in the end of the day, it's whatever everyone else says about it.
Oh, see, and now we're getting all scholarly because maybe the positive piece, right? The positive piece isn't necessarily what we put out because the positive is how others perceive it. Uh-oh, we're going down a dangerous path here.
So all I'm going to say to you this entire time is you can try what you want, but forget it. No, I'm kidding.
But I think that's a really good point, though, Michelle. I mean, what really matters is how our audience perceives us, and if we're putting out all this stuff but nobody's looking at it, then it really doesn't matter what our online presence is like. And so it's important to keep your audience in mind, who your intended audience is, and the communication style that's appropriate for that audience. So it might look different if you are like a, if you report on sports or something, versus if you are in the medical field and your audience is other medical providers. You know, the level of formality might be different. So that's a really important point, who your audience is.
Right. And, you know, I find it so interesting because there's so much crossover between personal and professional on all of these platforms. If you think about like Facebook and Twitter and all of those different mediums, you know, you have people that you know professionally following your personal page, and, you know, they're seeing the pictures that you post of your kids or of your family, but then also the professional links that you share and the things that you put on your business page. So, you know, a rule of thumb that I kind of live by is to just, you know, put my best self out there. You know, whether it's a personal or professional post, I just want to, you know, show my best self, I guess. And go ahead, Kimberly.
Sure. I was going to say, that's to me where that idea of integrity and being genuine to yourself, because you cannot control. I mean, I'm sure we have all had experiences where something we've posted or shared or said was misunderstood or not taken in the way that, that we intended. But if we do what we can to share with integrity and be genuine online, I to me, that's about the best rule of thumb.
So let's go to the other side for a minute and talk about what a negative online presence looks like and how to avoid it.
The opposite of everything we just talked about, maybe?
I think that's a good place to start.
Yeah. When you're
to bring up what we were talking about before about negative and positive online.
Well, I think that directly applies. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go for it, Michelle.
Well, and this answers a question that we put out to everybody that follows our Music Therapy Roundtable page on Facebook. We shared our topic for this month and asked listeners to ask their questions and points of discussion. And one person brought up how to have a positive presence in online groups and things like that, where there's discussions happening. So I think this is kind of where we're leading, right, Michelle?
Yes. And what we're talking about is, you know, the title of this podcast episode is dealing with positive online presence. And what does that mean to you and that sort of thing? But there's a difference. There's also just being positive online in the things that you say. And a lot of times when you're in discussion forums, you're going to be discussing things and you're going to be hearing the opposite of what you think, or, you know, a counterpoint to the discussion. And that may be come off as negative, but that is not the same thing as having a negative online presence. Just as if you're only saying positive things, that's a positive online presence. You know, we're talking about two separate things here, whether your online presence is one that's sharing positive in the way that people see that it's helpful to people, as opposed to being positive online and only saying nice things. How does that sound?
I think that sounds spot on, Michelle. And to me, it almost makes me want to even remove the label positive and negative, because that is such a subjective experience. It's how others perceive it. You know, I can think I'm putting something out there positive, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the thousands of people who are on Twitter or Facebook or what have you will perceive it the same way I do. So I think the other piece of this is a little tangential, is that it's not necessarily also how what you're putting out there, but how you're perceiving what's online. So it's hard, you know, one of the challenges of communicating online in a discussion group or reading Facebook posts, Twitter updates, et cetera, you don't get the nonverbal cues. And so you can't respond to those. So it's very easy, I think, to the trap with that is that you can misread or misunderstand somebody else's intention. And I think a lot of the discord that happens, it's a bit of miscommunication because, again, it's not that in-person back and forth. I think you need to sometimes remove some of your own emotional reaction to it, or at least view it more objectively, because you're in this, you know, you're just reading text, and there's a lot of meaning that can be missed in that.
Mm-hmm. And Kimberly, you, I'm being reminded of your blog post on Music Therapy Maven about addressing misrepresentation, because a lot of this online image topic also has to do with how you respond to things. And yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I do. And
that's,
you know, I'm not
presence, how you look, the way you respond.
Exactly. Exactly.
Image, I guess. Quote unquote, I'm quote fingering. You can't see me. I'm fingering image, because to me that seems like I'm, you know, Kim Kardashian or something. But my image. But yeah, you do have an image when you're online, even if you're not necessarily famous or quasi-famous. Oh,
absolutely do. Image has nothing to do with being famous or not. Anything you put out there, you are, it's being perceived, even if it's a small audience, it's still being perceived by somebody else. Rachel said it in her introduction. You know, we're representing ourselves, whether it be through LinkedIn, personal business website, or Facebook page. We're representing ourselves, even if our audience is small. So there is an image being put out there. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the idea of how you handle the misrepresentation, that's certainly related to this, I think. It's how you handle your emotional reaction, something you perceive as positive or negative. How do you handle it? Process through all that, but how do you respond to it in a professional, kind, helpful education, you know, from a place of integrity? That word's big for me in this episode, I think. Integrity.
Yeah. Anything you want to add, Matt, about how to avoid a negative online presence, or the qualities that might you might attribute to that?
Mm-hmm. Well, we were talking about how there are some people in social media who are very helpful, and they're the people who amass big followings. And there's some research out there that supports that the more helpful, the more positive you are. I know we were just talking about how positive and negative gets a little bit hairy in our definitions, but people who post generally positive and helpful information, they tend to get quite a few more followers, and you know, they do better in social media terms. And I think there are some styles to and some approaches to social media that aren't very helpful. For example, internet trolling. We've heard of this, right? Where people go onto internet forums or onto social media just to kind of be jerks. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's helpful. And I think we could probably say that's a negative internet or a negative social media presence. And then I've encountered one style that I find that I react to in a negative way is the what I call the internet Eeyore, which is the kind of woe is
That's
me.
That's a great name.
Yes, that is awesome.
Yeah, I find that a lot of the, if I unfollow someone, it's probably because they're being an internet Eeyore, and the woe is me, I've got a lot of problems posts, because they aren't very helpful, and I probably, or I might not know you well enough to do anything about it, and it just kind of, it brings my energy level down. So that may be just a personal thing and something that I'm particularly keyed into, but you know, don't be an internet Eeyore, or otherwise
that's
might,
our next meme
unfollow
right there.
You.
Matt Logan
don't
says,
"Don't be an internet Eeyore."
Yes, that's awesome. Yeah, I definitely agree with you, Matt. Because for the most part, you know, if you're gonna take a few minutes out of your day to to check up on Facebook or Twitter or what have you, the last thing you want to do is read some type of negative comment that's going to do nothing but bring you down. I absolutely agree. And one last little thing I want to add, and this kind of goes back to, you know, offering your opinion or your point of view on something, is trying to avoid being condescending. And that can be hard to do when you're typing out words. You know, it's one of those, you know, missing tone things that happens on social media. But it can seem, your responses can seem condescending when you're offering a dissenting opinion. And I see this a lot happening, like in places like Music Therapists Unite and things like that. But it's just really important to think through your responses before you write them out, just so that you don't sound like, okay, I know everything on this topic and I'm going to correct you. So, you know, one thing to keep in mind.
Yeah, right. Nobody likes to know it all.
Right, right.
And important to understand that there are different approaches to music therapy and different studies that support a variety of approaches. So
yes, such a good point.
It's important to step outside our own specialty or area of knowledge and maybe look into some other options or possibilities before we tell someone they're wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it might not be your niche, but you still need to respect it.
Well, and that also crosses over to areas that aren't music therapy. You know, we always talk about the fact that music therapists don't own music and the use of it for, you know, to help other people. And I think that's something to really keep in mind when it comes to others that are outside of our profession that do use music in some way. You know, sometimes we can be quick to point the finger, oh, you know, you're misusing or misrepresenting music therapy and things like that. So I know we kind of already touched on this, but definitely keeping your tone in mind and choosing your words very carefully.
I almost feel like we need a list of do's and don'ts. Here are the things you do, you know, you should do, and here are the things you don't. Like, don't be an internet Eeyore, and don't be a music therapy snob. And
That can be for pro.
There you go.
But anyway, I think that's what we're talking about on that one.
Okay, so let's move on and get more positive here. Let's talk about someone in the music therapy field whose online presence you admire. Can we all come up with somebody?
I'm talking to three of them.
Oh, that's so nice.
Ditto.
So I'll go first. I'll say Michelle, Kimberly, and Rachel. And I chose that order just because that's the order that I see your faces on my Skype screen.
Oh.
I think you all do a wonderful job of presenting useful information. Kimberly, you put out just a ton of articles and you link to a lot of content that's, some of it's your own and a lot of it's other people's too, but it's still very useful. And Michelle and Rachel, I follow your stuff too, and it's always positive. And again, I got to be careful with that word positive, but it's always helpful in some way. So yeah. I appreciate what you all do.
Well, and I think the same definitely goes for you too. We all follow Music Therapy Source and the things that you put out personally, and of course all of your guitar tutorials and things like that. I think you have so much content and knowledge to offer other professionals.
Yes, I know, man. For me, I don't read a lot of music therapy articles because there's a lot of them and I don't feel like it all the time, but whenever Music Therapy Source publishes one, because I know it's from you and I know you personally and I know your integrity and everything, I know that those ones are going to be worth reading. So they're kind of vetted resources for me. So that's why I like following the Music Therapy Source on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks.
Kimberly, what about you?
Well, I want to preface this. So when I first saw this question, I was a bit stuck. And I think primarily because I had trouble thinking of people off the top of my head. So I started looking through some of my lists and, you know, who are my friends with on Facebook and some
names started to roll out, and some are music therapists and some aren't. I feel like I should preface this by saying there are some, I think, great images and brands being created online. So this isn't going to touch on anybody, on everybody. But a couple of examples, you know, Joanne Jordan, she, I know she does a lot with her newsletters and things like that, but I always notice her on Twitter because she is so friendly and always works to connect people. So a lot of the tweets I get from her is because she's trying to connect people to other resources and includes me in that list. Yes. And I always appreciate that she just always so friendly and that networking piece.
And Joanne is like that in real life. Like the way she reads comes across when you read her, she's exactly like that in real life.
And that speaks to that being genuine. She's genuine in her presence, both on and offline. Mm-hmm. There's a gentleman, he's not a music therapist, but his name is Mike Coppin. And he, every time I read his Facebook update, I mean, I swear 95% of the time I laugh. It's just entertaining. He's very sarcastic, which is humor I kind of like, and it's intelligent humor. And so I appreciate that because I know when I see his update show up on my feed, I'm probably going to chuckle. And then the other one I thought of is the George Center. And I really appreciate how innovative they are in trying to get information out in different ways. And the two ways I'm thinking of in particular are the parody videos that they do and the infographics.
Yes. Love those.
And so I appreciate that about, you know, kind of the brand and the image that they're putting out there. And I know that, you know, some of the videos and infographics, they're not taken the same way by everybody in our community as I take them, but I'm okay with that. I commend them and I find that the value in the entertaining aspect and their willingness to kind of push the envelope a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do great work.
So those are the three that come to my mind.
My person on my list, the music therapist whose online presence I really admire I feel like he's new on the scene for the last year or two. And that is Noah Potvin, whose name I'm probably not saying right, but he is part of the blog musictherapyeolcare.com. They have a couple bloggers on there, but he also does a lot of responding, I guess we could say, on the Music Therapists Unite Facebook group. And I really enjoy hearing about his point of view because it's very thoughtful and he's very articulate. And I enjoy, whenever I look at what music therapists talk about, to me, it always feels like there's two separate topics. One has to do with three. One has to do with sessions. One has to do with business. And then the third topic is more like philosophical and thoughts and intangible things. And he's in the intangible category. And I really enjoy hearing his thoughts on things, especially in the forum, because often he's showing me a different side that I had either not thought about or kind of started thinking about. And he usually always takes the words right out of my mouth or makes things I'm thinking sound way better or just makes me think something new. And I really appreciate hearing that. And I know on my blog, I'm trying to kind of go through that self-discovery with music therapy process and share my thoughts. And I've been finding it very difficult to do because I'm kind of, I don't know, I guess I'm in this stage of my career where I'm starting to challenge things that I used to think were status quo. And I get a little afraid to share a contrary thought, which I shouldn't be. And then I see what he says and I'm like, yeah, I can do it too. And not that it's about being negative or anything like that, but I feel like his writing has a lot of courage that I lack. And so I enjoy being around it and reading it.
And again, he's like that in real life. He's very thoughtful and articulate
in what he shares. And just a little side note, the EOL, that's for end of life care. And I believe that all the music therapists who blog for that site, they're all hospice music therapists. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure.
No, I'm pretty sure too. We'll make that mean 100% sure.
That's right.
Rachel, you're next.
I am. The person who I really admire and enjoy following online is Rachel C. And that's because Rachel does something that not a whole lot of other music therapists do. And that is she gives us some photographic insight into what happens in the therapy room, especially through Instagram. She has done such an amazing job documenting her work with her clients. And of course, it's all with client permission. So all of the photos that she posts, she has explicit permission from her clients and their families. But she is able to show us, you know, the goals and objectives that she's targeting and how she is doing that. And I just think that's so fun to see and really helpful too. I've gotten some great ideas just from following her through social media. And it helps that, you know, we work with similar populations. But I think that it's fun and it's enlightening. And she's such a positive and happy person in general that I really enjoy following her stuff. So good list of people.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. So when we brought up the topic on our Facebook page, we received quite a few responses, and we've touched on a few of those questions that people posted, but some others wanted to know more about branding and continuity of image, as well as Twitter and Facebook networking and how your online presence ties in with all of this. So I thought that that to round out this episode, we could each share a piece of advice for somebody who is establishing or just beginning to establish their online presence professionally. So does anybody want to start us off?
I would like to start. I think your first step to take when you're using the online social media, all of that stuff in a professional way, is to sit down and really create a professional mission for yourself. And it doesn't have to be related to online, but just what is your professional mission? Like mine is to help people with music. And I believe that I can do that by helping the people who help the people. So helping music therapists. And so I know that whatever I write, as long as I'm helping a music therapist, I'm fulfilling my mission. And it really can, it's that map that guides me. It's my compass, you know, on the waters of the internet to get my message out there. So I don't have to worry about bothering anyone because I know it's going to be helpful because it's going to help those professionals. It sticks to my mission. So I think that's the first thing you got to do is come up with a professional mission.
I think that's a great starting place, Michelle. Absolutely.
I'll share a tip in terms of just building your audience so you have someone to tweet to or to send updates to. Find the people that you admire. Find the people who you think have a great internet presence and follow them and share their stuff. Retweet their links that you find helpful. Build, you know, engage with those people who are already doing it. They might follow you back, and then down the line they might retweet some of your stuff, and that will help you get more people into your social networks.
Yeah.
I think we would all agree that we notice when people comment.
Oh, absolutely.
So it does. It stands out.
Mm-hmm.
My suggestion is to systematize your process. I mean, you may look, I know that I look at Rachel and Michelle and Matt, everything you all put out, not just in terms of content, but also all of the different platforms in which you're active. And I'm sure it's kind of like with me, you have a system in place. So it's not overwhelming. There are tools out there where you can, you know, plan ahead. So maybe you know, plan out some Facebook or Twitter updates and they get sent out in the future. So you do it once and you don't have to think about it. So look for and create those systems to make managing your online presence feasible.
Mm-hmm. And my tip is to use your online presence to be a reflection of yourself, and don't fall into the trap of being too businessy, if that makes sense. Because you are your brand and your brand is you. So, you know, when you talk about your brand in the third person, or you're super, super formal, but then you also have, you know, your personal presence in these spaces, you know, that can be kind of confusing. And like Kimberly's talked about throughout the episode, it looks a little ingenuine. So remember that you are your brand, and everywhere that you post, you are speaking for your brand. We'll be talking more about specific ways that you can use your online presence to promote your brand and build your brand over on our premium website, musictherapypro.com. This pro conversation is only available to our pro community, who also has access to a members-only forum, resource lists, videos, exclusive podcasts, and discounts with select members. CMTE courses are also available to community members at no additional charge. At Music Therapy Pro, we've done the hard work already. Now we're sharing our secrets with you. Join the community at www.musictherapypro.com. All right, and now we're moving into our cool resource of the month. This month's cool resource is Payper, and that's spelled P-A-Y, capital P-E-R. This new service from Metro Music Therapy provides customized marketing materials for music therapists. You can purchase fact sheets, handouts, and even program proposals in many different areas of music therapy, including hospice, hospital care, mental health, substance abuse, at-risk youth, and memory care. Mallory Even, who's the owner of Metro Music Therapy, and her team are saving the rest of us lots of time and sparing us the need to reinvent the wheel by already having these marketing materials available. So check out Payper at metromusictherapyga.com/MMT-paper. We'll also include a link in the show notes.
We'd also like to give a shout out to our Pro Perk partners. Music Therapy Pro members receive discounts on products and services from Metro Music Therapy's Payper, Music Therapy eBooks, Music Therapy Mailings, Wholesome Harmonies Music Therapy, A Perfect Lullaby, the Music Therapy Research Blog, Boom Totes, Listen and Learn, and the Music Therapy Maven. Wow, that's a long list. Thank you so much for your support.
And announcement. Our newest podcast, yes, we created another one, called MTN3, has launched. So you can check out the new mini podcast on our website and through iTunes.
And it seems appropriate at the end of a podcast episode on establishing an online presence to reach out and congratulate a fellow music therapist, Kat Fulton, who is over at Rhythm for Good and musictherapyed.com. Kat got married recently. So we here at the Music Therapy Roundtable, congratulations, Kat.
Thank you for joining us. To see the show notes, go to www.musictherapyroundtable.com. If you like this podcast, take your skills to the next level by joining the Music Therapy Pro community. For only $17 per month, you will get unlimited access to CMTE's in-depth clinical skills podcasts and other invaluable resources designed to empower you to take charge of your personal and professional growth.